talk about the power of love. And kind of, it was interesting in some of the testimony that she was reading out of that book. I looked at Travis and I'm like, that's pretty much what I'm speaking on today. And I was, he looked at me, I'm like, no, I did not tell her that. It's cool how those things come together. That's a glory moment. So I'm going to start off by praying and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together today, a time to honor you, Father, for you are worthy. We thank you that everyone got here safely, Father, that your angels and your precious blood surrounded them, and we ask that the same as they continue on their journeys and on their way home today. Father, we thank you for the healings that took place here today. We give glory to you. And we know with those words of these testimonies that are going to come forth from today, you will do it again and again and again, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you're doing in this nation, that your hand has mightily moved in turning this nation back to you, Lord. And we glorify you for that, Lord. We don't glorify the men in office. We honor them because they honor you, Father. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen. Okay, so it was funny when I sent Lauren my songs and I put, which, you know, my handwriting's not the greatest sometimes, so I put the title is The Power of Love. And no, not from Celine Dion, right? Even though that song resonated quite a bit. So Lauren comes up to me today and she goes, who sings this song? Holding up, you know, The Power of Love. I'm like, Celine Dion. She kind of looks at me and she goes, you want that for the tithing song? She thought I wrote tithe instead of the title of today. And I'm like, no. I mean, well, I guess you could, but... So I wanted to start out with 1 Corinthians 13:13. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. And it's really interesting because the word beautiful isn't about beauty. Okay, when you go back to the root words, it's actually talking about a specific moment when something happens and it aligns so wonderfully that it's godly beautiful. Okay, so beautiful is not about what you see. Beautiful is talking about the alignment of God's will when those precise moments meet up, and it's just like, that is what beautiful means. So the last few years, we have seen that we have been a severely hindered and broken nation. Okay, and this is far beyond just politics, right? That there's been such a strife. You know, you go back decades, whether you're independent, Republican, Democrat. On the day of election, there might be a little bit of tension, but going forth after that, you went to eat together, you sat in the church pews together, your kids played together, you were in sports together. But this current day and age, it's not like that. Not so much. This, and what we have to realize is that is the power of the devil. This is when he uses Kairos time, strategic timing to attack us, right? Which causes all this dissension between us where we no longer want to sit at the football games together or go out to eat, or my kid stays at your house, yours stays at mine, because I don't like the way you think. I don't like the way you vote. I don't like your stance on local politics. I don't like who you voted for the school board. All of that has stirred up so much strife that we have become separated within ourselves. There was a thing that it was talking about a prophetic dream and how George Washington said, think about the Civil War. Even though Washington wasn't in the Civil War, what the Civil War was it was a war with ourselves. We weren't united going against outsources. And that, in a way, is exactly what you're seeing today, because there's so much war in between us that there's such a split that we can't even communicate as normal, adult, loving human beings. We see people groups rising against people groups. We no longer listen to each other. Instead, we railroad each other, yelling demeaning things to one another, physical fights, threats. And this all came because this started when people realized that their perception, what they wanted, if somebody else wasn't in that same perceptive mind, then that was a threat to you. Because you become scared, like, well, gosh, if that person doesn't agree with me, then if 10 others don't agree with me, and then all of a sudden you don't even want to be in part of that circle because of disagreements. And the problem with this is, but when all this really vamped up and was occurring, so let's think about when cities were getting burned and riots were happening, okay? Christians who participated in these acts didn't do it for God. They did it because it was a threat to perception of their belief, not his belief. And that put a huge hindrance on sending out God's word. The journey we are on, which we talked about this last time I spoke, was occupy till I come. And that is that we are to expand God's territory and his word on the earth and occupy for him until he comes back. It ain't about us. The manifest, which that's Luke 19:13. The manifestation of growing God's kingdom on earth should be at the center of our heart. Being that, we should be led to lead others to the redemption of their hearts of any man or woman. Everything we work towards in his name should be that, out of love to redeeming people's hearts. We're not the puppet masters. We don't pull the strings, right? So it's not us for us to control or try to manipulate into making somebody think the way we think. It's not our job to constantly correct them. When you do that, you will push people away. The way to a person's heart is through love. Flashpoint, I was watching, and was talking about California wildfires out in LA and how this church come together. And this church has got a long old history. It's wonderful, really. For example, it was like a lot of the old Halloween horror films were done there, and it was terrible condition. And so this church came in and room by room said, first thing was to get all the demonic stuff out of here. And room by room, they built it up. And he became, in him conversating with God, not a preacher of the city, but a janitor of the city. So this is LA. We're talking Crenshaw, we're, you know, Skid Row. It's rough. I've drove by it, but I won't even go down there. But this church came in and seen what needed to be seen and that it needed cleaned up. They didn't need somebody coming in and talking hell and brimstone and fire and telling them what sinners they were and you need to clean up now. They realized there was a need for cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? But we're not talking, you know, it's funny. Years ago, I was like, I thought my house had to be perfectly clean because that's what God liked. I didn't realize cleanliness, you know? And so if you clean up the atmosphere changes, right? So Terry said many times, if you don't like your atmosphere, change the atmosphere. So that's what this church came in and done. And when all these wildfires were going on, they said, what do we do? So they just started getting what food they had, what water they had, and just started setting out there. Said you could hardly even see because there was so much smoke. And LA is just, I'm sorry, it's gross. It's just, you can see a smog bubble over it. And so, but people just randomly started coming up out of the smoke and grabbing a sandwich. Or they would pull up out of their car. And as people who don't even aren't even involved in this church, just people in the community, and come out of the car running just to hug somebody. Okay? So it's in the action, right? So if we're all just sitting here on our hands, not doing anything, then how do we reach others? How do we love others if we're just sitting on our hands and not having action with our faith? You know, we kind of taking a step back from that. You know, the way to a person's heart is through love. So we have seen, I have done it, where you can attack somebody by yelling, screaming in their face, pushing them, hitting them, burning their house, messing with their vehicles, messing with their children. But none of that will change a person how you want to see the change or feel, because it's not really up to you to change, because none of those physical options, none of those hurtful options can operate through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is love. We have to have that in order to produce the fruits we are supposed to produce to expand and occupy. Amen. So how do we, you know, and thinking about this, how do we do that? How do you reach somebody in love? Well, it's not to condemn them and tell them what you think is right and that's what they need to do. No. You're going to push. Yeah, that will deflect more people. You don't show them where they're wrong. You show them what their potential can be. And that's God's potential for them. So another way is sharing our lives with people. Let them see your torn cells. Let them see the hurt you've been through. I'm not saying you got to bear all your scars, but there's a real connection there because we all face battles. We've had losses. There's been diseases. There, you know, all the bad, nasty stuff this world freely wants to give you. And that can be a real connection with somebody. You know, and my son went to heaven, and one of my closest longtime friends, the day we met was a year after she had lost her son. And we found, not lost, he went to heaven. And we found out that in communicating, it was almost an instant connection. And it's been 20 some years now, you know, but it's like that. If you can open up and quit, you know, we have hurt pockets, right? All those past things that it's like, yeah, I'll deal with that later. Yeah, I'll deal with that later. Yep. And you keep them stored up there. So you sure put your blinders on, keep going forward, but there will be a trigger that starts making all that come back out, right? So like sweeping dust under the rug, it's just going to keep mounted up, and there's going to be something that hits the pressure of that rug and releases all the icky back out. And so that's why we have to identify your own hurt pockets, but you can use those hurt pockets to help with your healing, but also help heal somebody else. And then when they see that grace and they feel that love, it's an addiction. When you start feeling so loved and so welcome, warm, understood, oh yeah, that feels a lot better than that fifth of Jack Daniels the next day. Do you see what I'm saying? That's only temporary, and it's actually going to make you feel worse the next day. To listen without judgment, caring without condemnation, overcoming revulsion, rebuild bridges that have been burned to ash. What healing looks like through us, if we are that beacon from God, he wants us to work on healing somebody else. It looks like gazing into the eyes of the enemy, past their hurt, past their damage, past their rage, acknowledging their pain, and help heal their wounds. And it will help heal yours. You got to answer the cries with the word of God. A person's most powerful, life-changing experience comes from their personal relationships. The work we do in a relation that is involved in a relationship is some of the hardest work we'll ever do. This is because it takes us out of our own comfort zone, even if those zones are a spiritual battle. And this is even more adept at battling our own opponents than reaching through the darkness of another's life. The gospel of Jesus can be plastered everywhere, on billboards, flyers, books, windows, but it will not have action or it will not have effect until it reaches the heart. People that we need to reach for this effectiveness do not live beautiful lives. Okay. Their hurt, their disappointment, their current environment, a previous environment, they have constructed barriers and walls. And that's building up because they've been hurt. They're blocking their hurt pockets, right? So a lot of times when we attempt to try to reach someone or break through a barrier, start pulling the curtains back to get to know them, to want to help them, we're often rejected. And that's a given. And it will feel or seem as if you had a breakthrough with somebody, and then you kind of get that little disappointment because they didn't show up when you invited them, or they didn't come through with their end. And that's kind of what I call dealing with a head nodder. Somebody you think you're making a connection with, they're just... And I'm like, oh yeah, I got through to that one. And then the next Sunday comes around, it's like, I did not get through that time. Okay, because I'm coming back. But we are called to be bold. So we have to keep trying. Faith's curiosity is bigger than fear. So you can't be fearful of being rejected. Be like, my curiosity is kicking in. That didn't work. Okay, God, show me another avenue. Does that make sense? So that's what you got to keep. You got to keep going. You got to be bold. Don't be weak about it. We've only got a little bit of time to get this done. You don't want to focus when you personally go through that rejection. You don't want to focus on the thoughts coming to mind. Well, I just don't want to overstep my bounds, or I don't want them upset at me, or am I going to push them further away? Those are your thoughts that you need to take captive. We've talked a lot about taking thoughts captive, but let's talk about what that entails, the how. How do I take my thoughts captive so that I'm not hindering myself or hindering from expanding God's kingdom? When you have those thoughts that come to mind, there are several things that can be done, and it's going to be a lot easier when you have the Holy Spirit. So number one, when you have one of those thoughts come in, relabel it. Relabel the thought. Don't you open your mouth, but you just say, that's an intrusive thought. That's not true. Just relabel that thought. You can reattribute. And so that's basically saying, this is my brain of sending me false messages. Nope, that is false. That is not my thought. That's another way to do it. Refocus. Say when you're cleaning and that negative thought comes to mind, oh, I can't believe he never cleans up the toilet anymore, you know. Be like, you know, no, uh-uh. I'm going to go over here and fold some laundry. You know, you retask. You do something else. You get out of that moment, out of that thought. You devalue the thought. Don't give it anymore. Don't play into it. Change your atmosphere. I don't like the atmosphere going on up here. I'm going to change it over here. Then replace. Okay, so that's how you change your mindset. Now we're going to talk about what you do after that. Replace the lies with His truth. When you hear a lie, I don't care what scripture it is. Come at it with a scripture. Right? Just quote one. You got to have your pocket scriptures, right? Like two or three scriptures that you know by heart all the time, whatever season of life you're going through, it means to you. Use one of those. Renew. Keep your mind fresh with His word daily. Philippians 4:8. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. That's how you take thoughts captive. That's how you beat those nasty thoughts. Then we have Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed of this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed. This one hit me. Out of all the times I have read this scripture, it's cool when one hits you a different way. Progressively changed. He doesn't expect you to be perfect overnight. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But by the word of God, we know how to get back up. I love that because it's, you know, a lot of times being a Christian, I've probably said it in the past some point too. Well, they're just so hoity-toity. They condemn you. I went to this church and I got hurt and I can't go to church anymore. No, then you're going to the wrong church. It doesn't matter what church you go to, as long as you are getting spiritually fed, whether it's here, whether it's here. So, but I said I did at work the other day, I was passing out those little Jesuses, and I said, I would rather people know the raw me. They know I'm ornery, goofy. Lord knows I got a mouth on me. He created me with some spice. But I'm never here, ever going to be perfect. So don't expect me to be. If I try to present myself perfect, the first time you see me slip up, I'm going to have a whole lot of condemning coming at me. Okay? And then I would be the next one saying the 36 reasons of why I couldn't find a church. Thoughts are just that. Oh, sorry. You guys have read it by now. Okay. Thoughts are just that. Thoughts have no power until we give them power by your tongue and by your actions. So if that thought comes to mind, whatever, move on. Because if you start speaking it, if you act on that thought, you just gave it power. You just gave the devil power. And then, so don't let your negative thoughts hinder your overcoming kingdom authority, occupying ability that are from God. Those are our God-given rights. Think about this. Would people be as misguided as they are if they were not hungry for change? Would gender-confused people manipulate their bodies if not desperate for some sort of fulfillment? Their answers will never come from surgeons or scalpels. Apart from God, all satisfactories are temporary. That is confusion. That is manipulative and deadly persuasion from the devil. If you think that you can go out, go shopping, spend your last $300 and think that it's going to satisfy you for a long time. If we separate, wait a minute, sorry. Nope, yep. Okay, so if we separate from these people, you will see even more sickness. But if you get closer and you see their heart afflictions that match some of the heart afflictions you've had, those are real. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to feel things. You just don't get stuck there. And so when you see the heart afflictions, that's when you can draw in with somebody, because that is a common denominator for all mankind. Confusion, doubt, fear, lies, which all defines the devil's MO. We need to know when these things are exposed to another person that chaos will reign, because you've just opened up a bunch of wounds. Now, by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit in us, when those wounds are open, instead of it letting create chaos, because that's initially what it's going to do, we have to realize that at that same moment, that's when their needs are exposed too. You will know what their needs are. You will see their wounds and you will know how to help them through your experience, or you can get them to an experience. So when you see a raw emotion come out of somebody, nope. No, that's when you step forth and you hug them. You tell them, I don't understand your exact situation, but I understand your heart. That's when you start getting people in. Yes, it says when their wounds are exposed, but their needs are as well, that's where you find an opening in their heart for the word of God to imprint on them. In that opening, in that moment, is where they are open to God just as they were to the enemy. The saying, flood of valley, there is destruction, but it leaves behind fertile soil. Fertile soil is planting time for a future harvest. The enemy sows discord, but Jesus sows the gospel of peace and love. In John 4, Jesus' disciples were shocked to find him speaking to a Samaritan woman. In fact, he just revealed himself as the Messiah. The disciples were shocked he was speaking to the Samaritan woman for several reasons. Three, it was a woman. She was a Samaritan, and she was an immoral woman. And those three labels kept Jews and Samaritans apart. I mean, besides the distorted bloodline, blah, blah, blah. But that's what kept them apart. Labels. Who created those labels for that person? I guarantee you it wasn't her. It wasn't Jesus. And in that moment when he spoke to her, do you know what he did? He broke down the social and cultural barriers in that moment. Even back then, they were doing that. Okay, so what do we know? If he did it, we can do it. And that's what we need, is the social and cultural differences. We got to get those barriers down and out of the way. I put it here. Thank God the disciples had not enough sense not to challenge Jesus. John was probably standing behind Peter with his hand cusp over John's mouth. Like, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Travis knows that feeling. Him, the John, me, the Peter. The same.
We knew that.
We are called to occupy, grow into and unto the pulpits, the stages, the media, the government. We're to occupy the wells. The wells is where we're going to find the thirsty people. These are the thirsty souls. These are the wants. God loves working with the wants. The powerful resurrection began with just one. Just as Jesus arose from the grave, he didn't seek many. He just seeks one, and that was Mary. He passed on the relation covenant to Mary. No closer bond, no greater relationship, no deeper covenant, and the most profound peace. Like, how much better can it get? You know, just as Jesus started with one, so must we. And so we need to repent when we find ourselves judging others. Has everybody seen the new documentary about the Joplin tornado? Okay, here's truth time. So, a person came on the screen and I could tell exactly mine, Mandy, and Trav's reaction was like, ooh. Okay, I won't go much further than that. If you've seen it, you probably know what I'm saying. And then by the end, you found what that person had been through. And it's like, oh, just take my shoe off and shove it in my mouth. Like, but that's a way, I mean, so repent. You're not going to get it every time, but it's important that you catch yourselves, right? Because when you catch yourselves, you can correct yourself, right? So just make sure your hearts are open, that we acknowledge by his word. So we know the truth that love is the most important thing. And we need to acknowledge God's desire for us to be loving people, to reach other people. That the devil's schemes can no longer divide us apart. If we are working together in love to reach those, we don't let ourselves get distracted by fear of the what ifs and by the rejection. You just keep swimming. So that's you know, all I really have, but it's just kind of wanted to talk about, you know, what we can do to love, because kind of like what you said a couple Sundays ago, we can really do the most damage to ourselves by condemning ourselves, yet we are not supposed to. So don't be too hard on yourselves either. Give yourself grace. Get more grace from him. Love yourself. Get more love for him. But don't condemn yourself just because you don't get something right. Okay? All right.
Amen.
Is everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay.